Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. Wow, my voice is booming through the church today. Ah, there we go. And you've added a bit of bass on me too, Alan. Thank you so much for making me sound manly today. All right. Hey, I hope everyone had a great few weeks. Wantirna, of course, was the building itself was shut last Sabbath. And I just want to reiterate, Ray, when you're talking about all the different things that the church has to pay for, with all of the bills and all that kind of stuff. When we have a church that shuts down for a week, you actually start to realize how many people are involved just to make sure that your Sabbath runs smoothly. We had a lot of people who had a very good time of rest. We have so many people that work in the background. It's not just those who come up, but it's the ones in the background also who do such a good job, including people like the ones up the top with the AV, who do such a great job in the background, making sure that things happen. So we just want a round of applause. There's also people, of course, the worship team. Not everyone who runs a worship team comes up the front, but they're doing so much work during the week as well. And then, of course, we've just got elders and people and so many things that happen just to make sure that the church runs. And so we want to thank you from here to you, all the work that you guys are doing for us as we come to church to worship God. Remember, we're not a business, we're not a theater company that just runs services for entertainment, but we're here to worship God. And so the work that you do for the church is for God. And so we just want to thank you so much for that. Of course, my wife and I and the kids, we went to Queensland, which was a horrible experience in the beautiful warm weather and in the Gold Coast. You don't want to go up north. It's horrible up there in Queensland. Trust me. Melbourne's the place to be, trust me. No. And with Road to Bethlehem as well, that was mentioned. Can I just quickly plug that? I think most of us have probably been to or been involved in Road to Bethlehem. It is such a great ministry. If you've never been before, please go. It's one of the greatest things that we do as a church when it comes to these kind of really great performances of the nativity scene and what happened in Jesus' birth. And today, it was last week, I got an email from Road to Bethlehem saying that they are asking me to be a part of it, and they've asked me to be a wise man. And I'm not sure whether or not that's a compliment or not. I'm still trying to figure that out, but I've got the lines and I'm going to be reading. So if you see me there, come and say hi, but don't put me off because I might forget my lines. And just come along because it's a great ministry to be a part of. Now, I don't want to take too much of our time because, of course, as you can see here with the table, we have a communion service. And I don't think Liz would be the first person to have maybe the first communion service in a while at Wantirna. So I just want to encourage you before we have the message that the communion service is for everyone. We practice at Wantirna an open communion, and that means that you don't have to be baptized to be a part of that, although it's up to you if you want to. But you just need to be able to be on a journey with God and have your heart set towards Him. And there are a few things that will happen. We'll have a quick message, then we'll go out and we'll split up for some foot washing services, and then we'll come back for the bread and the grape juice. So just before we start, let's bow our heads for a quick prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for your Sabbath. It is such a great feeling to be surrounded by people who love you, especially during the week for some of us who may not have people who love you at our workplaces, at our schools, wherever we are. And so, Lord, I pray that today, this Sabbath, will be a time of recharging, of uplifting, that we may meet you and we may meet those who follow you, and that we can be recharged to go out into this world and to preach who you are to people. And so, Lord, we just want to pray for the message today. May your Holy Spirit be in this place and with me as I speak in your precious name. Amen. Now, I've got a new computer, so I'm hoping that it will allow me to connect without having to put a code in. So, let's see if it's all working. How are we going, Ellen? Well, we got that. Great. While we're waiting for that to come up, the service and the message is entitled Symbols of Sacrifice. Ah, brilliant. There we go. We're up. And when it comes to symbols and signs, I don't know about you, but I feel like we are surrounded by so many different logos and symbols and signs and different things that are trying to just tell us things on a daily basis. Now, when I think of a place where there are lots of signs and symbols, I think of a place like this place. Does anyone know where that is? Where's that? Times Square. Now, who's been to Times Square in New York? Yeah, it's very confronting, especially at night, isn't it? Now, I'm speaking from no experience at all because I've never been to America, but I've seen so many photos of what these places look like, especially in things like Tokyo, where there are a lot of people, and at night you've got so many signs and symbols. If you could have a guess, how many logos do you think you can see in that one picture? How much do you reckon? 40. You're way off. You need your glasses, Brian. All right. We go higher than 40. 100? 400. It's in between the 40 and 400. Yeah, it's about 160. Right? Now, when you have a look, and I'm not going to show you this too long, but you can go home, have a count. Maybe the kids can have a look. It's all over the buildings, all over the billboards. It's including on the clothes of people and also on the back of cars. Everywhere is a logo or a symbol. In fact, Forbes magazine estimates that a normal average person in the Western world will see 4 to 10,000 ads, logos, and symbols a day. A day. That's a lot of things to be thrown at you on a daily basis. Now, I want to show you, because typically communion, for some strange reason, can be very somber and serious in some way. I wanted to bring a bit of light. I want to show you some signs that are real signs from around the world. If you're a traveler, you may have seen some of these before. Let me show you some. Touching wires cause instant death, $200 fine. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Just to make sure that, you know, it's all the punishments there. All right, what about this one? Bikes on the left, cars on the right. All right, maybe only Toyotas will survive that trip through the water. What about this one? That may not be accepted in this day and age anymore, something like that, but it's a real sign. All right, what about this one? That's nice of them, isn't it? All right, just to let you know, I think that's in Europe somewhere. Probably in one of those old cities with the roads that aren't made for those shoes. What about this one? These are real signs, by the way. I'm not making this up, I promise. Here's another one. I don't know what that is trying to say. I don't know what it's trying to convey. This one is my favorite, though. I'll show you. It's from a church. Don't let worries kill you, let the church help. Maybe we should put that up the front. Look, when it comes to signs and symbols and all these different things, they're meant to portray something, something of information, something of meaning, something of purpose. And so when you look at these kind of signs and symbols, you should be, because they're supposed to be universal, be able to understand what it's trying to portray in just a few seconds. And when you look at that, you can kind of understand what they are trying to say. Whoops. But the thing with universal symbols is that they're only useful if they have a meaning and purpose. See, if you put one of those more, maybe the caution one on the top left or radioactive or stop, and people didn't know the meaning and they just walked right past and they didn't even care or what it meant, it would be useless. There'd be no point if the meaning was not there. Now, let me show you some other symbols that have meaning and purpose that are not necessarily ones you think of. Baptism, a rainbow, and Sabbath. Now, did you know that they are symbols of things that represent and have meaning and purpose? So if you think about baptism, what will be the meaning behind baptism? Giving your life to Christ. A transformation, right? Changing, going down to the water, being dead to the world, and being lifted up to Christ. What about the rainbow? What does the rainbow mean? Something that has lost its significance over the last maybe decade or so. It's a promise of that we will not be flooded again. So it's a protection. What about the Sabbath? What's the Sabbath a sign or a symbol of? God's creation, rest, his mark on creation, right? There's a lot of different things. Now, here's the thing. If the meaning is lost in those signs and symbols, then it becomes useless. Did you know that? If you follow the Sabbath just because somebody told you to follow it, but you didn't realize that it represented the sign of the Creator and to be holy and to remind us about who He is, then it loses its focus and meaning. It actually becomes useless. And the same thing can be said about all these different things. Now, there is one symbol that I have reminded myself of, especially last week. Does anyone know what the importance of the 11th of November was? Remembrance Day. Now, I knew the church was closed last week, and I knew I had to take communion today, but I wanted to not let that slide, because Remembrance Day is a very important part of us remembering about what happened in World War I on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Right? And the thing is, if the day just happens where we have the minute of silence and then we kind of carry on what we're doing, we don't even think about what happened, that day becomes useless. It's like Anzac Day. If we don't actually realize what those days mean and have the importance and the meaning, they become useless. I remember when I was in Morissette, and you may recognize this picture over in Dora Creek. And that's in the Morissette, right in Morissette. And they had a dawn service at Anzac Day. And I was standing there, and Anzac Day didn't really mean much to me, to be honest. I was a young man who was born into a very wealthy world, and I didn't really understand war and conflict and all that kind of stuff. But I remember waking up one day going with a bunch of mates to this dawn service, and it struck me, wow, there is a lot of symbolism and meaning to something like this. And I remember when I was on social media, only a few days before Anzac Day dawn service, there was this picture that popped up that had no meaning, significance for me at all until I came to this, and it was this picture. And I'm going to let it marinate for you for a little bit. Now, I was just scrolling on Facebook, and I went right past it very quickly. It had no meaning, it had no purpose for me at all. But when I heard of the sacrifice that many of the soldiers had to go through, some of their families came to the dawn service and they got dressed up and they shared their experiences and they sung hymns, it really made this special. And whatever you take from this picture, I'm not going to add translation for you, but to me, when I look at that, I see a lot of gratitude from my end towards their sacrifice. Now, there's a reason why I bring this up. Because there's not much difference between what happens here and the symbolism in that picture and the symbolism in this. We are going to have communion. And if you are a good Adventist, then you will know that we do it 4 times a year. And if you've been an Adventist all your life, you've done this all your life 4 times a year. And sometimes when we do things, we lose the meaning and the purpose because it just becomes another day. But communion is not just another day. There is something special about communion. It symbolizes something so important. In fact, when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth about communion, and we were going to read in this later when we do the service in 1 Corinthians 11, you will realize, if you read it in context, that he tells them to do it because their church was not unified. There was disunity in the church. In fact, let me read to you 1 Corinthians 11, verses 18 to 20. He says, "First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent I believe it. For when you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. I want you to see a correlation between disunity in the church and not understanding communion." Do you see that, church? And when you go through the motions and you just do things week in, week out, just because it's on the roster or it's something that we've got to do next week, but you don't realize the meaning behind it, the church suffers. So Paul tells the church in Corinth to practice communion the right way and to remember its meaning because it will bring you together as a church. And to me, that sounds so exciting. Did you know that communion represents unity? Did anyone even know that? Or did you just look at the bread and the wine and understand what it symbolizes with Christ's death and sacrifice? Of course, that's what it means at its core. But there's so much more involved when it comes to communion. And do you know why there is importance in communion? It's because of these words. Do this in remembrance of me. Have you noticed that there is a specific term that's used during Anzac Day? Do you know what it is? Least we forget. They say exactly the same thing in different words. There is power in remembering sacrifice. When we sit there and we think about the sacrifice the soldiers made for us that lifted this world up so that we can jump into our nice cars and we can sit at home and watch Netflix and we can be comfortable with our lives, we realize that came at a cost. Same thing is said about Christ and his sacrifice. You'll realize that when the Israelites came out of Egypt and God took them out and did the miracles and opened the Red Sea and the Israelites went through, and then Moses is called up the mountain, and how long does he stay up the mountain for? 40 days. That's not a long time, is it? Is 40 days a long time? For the Israelites it is. Because we know that they have experienced the biggest transformation, miracles that they've ever seen. They've literally seen the walls of a river or a sea come up around them, and they've crossed it being saved from the Egyptians, and it only took them 40 days to forget. And this is what happens when we forget about what God has done in our lives. If you read Exodus 20, which is the Ten Commandments, you'll notice that he doesn't just get straight into it and say, "Thou shalt not." You realize the first two verses say, "Remember that I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now follow my commands." Before God asks you to follow him, before God asks you to do all the things that he needs you to do, he always asks you to remember. And so communion is kind of that reset point. If we have forgotten about God in our lives, that's what communion is all about. Remembering that God is good. Of course, the bread represents the body of Christ, that he was broken for us. The grape juice represents the blood of Christ that was bled for us. And there's so much symbolism in those two things that I'll allow my elders to actually share a little bit about as we do that service. But I just want to remind you of something. When it comes to symbols, such as baptism, a rainbow, Sabbath, and communion, the power is actually not in the symbols themselves. When the rainbow is up in the sky, does it stop it from raining? No, it's just a promise. When you get baptized, does that make you perfect and without sin? No, it's just a symbol. And with Sabbath, if you follow the Sabbath every single week, day in, week out, does that make you holy? No. It's just a symbol. The bread and the grape juice, as beautiful as they are, there is no power in them. The power comes from this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what, church? Eternal life. And that's why we are here as a church. These two images are exactly the same thing. They both symbolize symbols of sacrifice. And I'll just reiterate something before we end. The reason why we have breath in our lungs, the reason why we come to church, the reason why we have a smile on our face, the reason why there is hope beyond the craziness of this world is because Christ died for you. Did you know that? And you've probably heard this message time in and time out, but I want you just to remember how important Christ's sacrifice was for you, because if he didn't die on that cross, we probably wouldn't even be sitting here in the first place. Just imagine that you didn't know about the gospel, you had no hope beyond the grave. What would you do with your life? What would you do if you didn't have hope? You'd probably live your life the way that you wanted to, right? But we sit in this church today because we want to worship God, give him thanks, and remember his sacrifice in remembrance of him. So as we split up, we will also be doing another remembering project where we will wash each other's feet. And if you know of those last days where Christ was about to die, he washed the disciples' feet. And so we follow suit, and we call it the communion of humility. And so I invite you, there are three groups. And again, if you feel uncomfortable, more than happy to stay here. We've also got a kids' service up the front that I think Simone is going to be leading. Thank you so much. In the hall, the couples will go to. And then in the long room, which is all the way down to the left where the teens meet, on the teen side, which is the kitchen side, that's where the men will be, just on their own. And then the women will be further down that long room on the pastor's office side. So I invite you, if you can, to practice this ordinance of humility, and then we'll come right back here to do the communion service. Thank you.